He counts the stars one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees every sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. And he knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. I don't know what tomorrow may bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the questions of a life, but I know in whom I have believed, and he knows my name, every step that I take, every move that every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry.
Well, I'm glad this morning that he knows our name. Amen. This time we're going to dismiss our young people back to junior church, and they've got a special program back there for you, 4 years old through 11 years old. We'll be dismissed back there. Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn with me to the book of Colossians, chapter number 2. Colossians, chapter number 2. And I want you to look at verse number 6 and 7. Great passage of scripture. The Apostle Paul is talking to the church of Colossae, and he says this in verse number 6, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." I want you to notice that the Apostle Paul told them that they needed, as they have received Christ, they needed to be rooted and grounded in him. He told them that they needed to walk in him. Let's bow forward to prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, as we come before thee, we thank thee, Lord, for your many blessings upon us. And Lord, I pray as we start a brand new year, I pray, Lord, that we'd realize that it is a year of new beginnings. Today being the first Sunday, the first day of the year, it is a day of new beginnings. And Lord, so many times we have failed thee in this past year. Thought the wrong things and said the wrong things and have done the wrong things. But Lord, help us to let the past be the past. And Lord, help us to look to the future. And Lord, help us to look to guidance, to you for guidance and direction and strength. I pray, Lord, now that you just bless in a great way, we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Most of you know that I am a Cleveland Indians fan. Don't hold that against me. But the Cleveland Indians came remarkably close to clinching the pennant this year. About halfway through the season, the Cleveland Indians began to really slump. And they began losing a number of games. They got swept by one team, and then they started losing and just about swept by the next team. And They started playing like the Bad News Bears. I mean, it was not very good. When the manager, Terry Francona, was asked what happened to the team, he replied and he said this, and this is kind of paraphrasing what he said. He said, "When we play good ball, we do very well. And when we play bad baseball, it's just awful." And I thought about that, and I thought to myself, so it is in the Christian life. He said this, he said, when we get away from the basics, the fundamentals of baseball, we start losing. And when we get away from the fundamentals of the Christian life, it's kind of like what he said, it's just awful. And the Christian life is supposed to be blessed, it's supposed to be happy, it's supposed to be full of joy. But when we get away from the basics of the Word of God and the basics of what God has intended the child of God to do, the Christian life can turn into a baseball team that represents the Bad News Bears and it's just ugly. Boy, it's quiet in here. Either I've already put you to sleep or you're all in agreement with me. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
I really believe that if in 2016 some things went wrong in your Christian life or maybe in your family, or maybe you faced some real struggles in your life, the only way you're going to succeed in the next year is you need to get back to the basics. The basics of the Christian life. For the past 3 years, we have been planning, and we have been preparing, and we have been laboring on a building program. That's behind us. Hallelujah. All of that's over. It's now behind us. Now it is time for me as a pastor, as a Christian, and we as a church, we need to get back to the basics. The basics of the Christian life, the basics of ministry. We don't have to worry about driving nails. I don't have to worry about ordering lumber, making sure that everything is here at the right time so everything can fall in sequence in a building project. That's all gone. Thank the Lord. But we need to understand that we need to get back to the basics of ministry. It says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. I want you to, if you don't have your Bible open to Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, I hope that you do. I hope you'll highlight it. I hope you'll memorize it, because I'm going to be referring to this verse throughout the whole year. And this year, as a theme to 2017, I've titled it, Back to Basics. If you're struggling in your marriage, you need to get back to basics. If you're struggling in your Christian life, you need to get back to the basics of the fundamental of the Christian walk. If you are dealing with internal struggles, you need to get back to the basics of your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when we get back to the basics, we're going to find out exactly where we've gone wrong. The Bible says there in Colossians 2, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. By the way, that's the beginning of all things for the Christian, isn't it? Isn't that where we need to begin as a child of God? Receiving Christ Jesus the Lord? And if you haven't received Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then listen, there's no better time to do it than now. Start a new year with Jesus Christ. But notice what he said. He says, when you receive Christ, he said, so walk ye in him. Now, for those individuals that are not physically impaired and have not gone through trauma in their life that keeps them from walking, walking is a pretty natural thing. We rejoice when our children take their first steps because it's just a natural process. They get to be a year old.
old, a year and a half old, and all of a sudden we're just waiting and anticipating for them to take their first steps, and after about 3 weeks of them walking, we're saying, we wish you would crawl again, because they're into everything. But walking is just kind of basic. It's basic for the child of God, just to walk with the Lord, or at least it should be. And every day we ought to do the basic things of walking with God and talking with Him. That's just basic. And then it says there in the next verse that we are to be rooted. Everything that has life grows. All plant life, it's rooted in the soil, and it grows because it is rooted. It is stabilized because it is rooted. It endures because it is rooted. And so is true with the child of God. We are stabilized and we are safe and secure when we are rooted in Jesus Christ. Don't be a Christian tumbleweed through life. Amen? Going wherever the wind blows you. As I said, the theme this year is back to basics. Each month, Lord willing, I'm going to be bringing a series of messages on back to the basics. So this morning, as we go back to basics, where do you begin? Where do you begin with back to basics? I think the best thing to do is start at the beginning. Amen? And don't do like me when I started reading the Bible. I always read the last chapter first to make sure that I'm going to go ahead and like what I read, so then I'll go ahead and read the rest of the book. So when I got saved, I just jumped right to the book of Revelation, and I read it, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what, I don't understand a whole lot of this. I just know there's a whole lot of people heading for a whole lot of trouble. So where do we begin as we look at going back to the basics? The best place is in the beginning, and so let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. And I want you to notice the first three verses in Genesis chapter number 1. And I want to bring you a message this morning, back to basics, where it all began. Back to basics, where it all began. And listen, this is applicable for your Christian life. God said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. This morning, I want you to notice four things with me. I hope you'll jot them down. If we're going to get back to basics, we have to go back to where it all began. And in Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 1, the Bible tells us that the basic beginning of all things begins with God. You say, well, yeah, preacher, we know that. Yeah, but do you really know that? Do you really know that? That the basic beginning of all things begins with God. Now in 2016, how many things have you attempted? Now don't raise your hand, all right? Don't blurt out. But how many things have you attempted without God? How many days did you enter into without praying and seeking God's help and asking God to direct you and to guide you? How many days were there in 2016 when the Bible was never cracked and you never looked at the Word of God to help you and to lead you in the right way? You see, those are days without God. In the beginning, God. Number one, we need to realize the basic beginning of all things begins with God. The blessed and successful Christian starts and continues and ends with God. I want you to take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 31. I would challenge you to memorize this verse. It will help you. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Look at verse 31. Would you read it with me? Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. You know, the Apostle Paul was telling the church of Corinth, your life should consist of bringing glory to God. Your life should consist of bringing glory to God. And the very first thing I think that we need to understand as we go back to the basics, and as we look at where it all began with God. And our life every day ought to begin with God. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I would encourage you, make sure that your life, your new life, your forgiven life, your heaven-bound life has started with the Lord Jesus Christ. We realize that all of creation begins with God. We realize that our education, our family, our communities begins with God. You know, I listen to the news and I read the newspaper and I see all of the violence and all the shooting that's going on around our country and the wars that are taking place around the world. Listen, all that stuff would stop. It would all cease if every day people would wake up and start their life walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. There would not be a bullet that's fired. There would not be a house that is robbed. There would not be a needle that is stuck in an arm. There would not be a person that would OD. Listen, there would not be ever a rape that would take place. There would never be a domestic violence situation that would rear its ugly head in our society if people would just go ahead and start with God. Can I hear an amen? Amen. All of creation, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That tells me there's a start, there's a beginning point. That tells me in my life there ought to be a beginning point with God. Our Christian life. You can say you're a Christian. And people have come to me and they'll say, oh yeah, Pastor, I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I know I'm saved. But there's never any evidence that they've ever began with God. Because if you begin with God, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You see, all things become new because there was a beginning point. There was a point in time when they realized that they were lost, realized that they were under the judgment of God, and they called out to God and they asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save them. Listen, the basic beginning of all things begins with God. One of the problems in our society is we've sent our kids off to the public school and they have taught them that they are just nothing more than the results of random chance evolution. And that they have ascended out of some primordial slime. And over millions and billions of years, we have evolved into human beings. And when you die, that's just nothing happens. You just go back to the grave and you kind of recycle. It's no wonder people act like animals. And there's no conscience and no morality. We've allowed our children to be educated that way. But I'm here to tell you the answer to society's problems, it does not lie in the White House. It lies in the church house and getting back to the basics of the Word of God. And in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created. Look what it says in verse 1. In the beginning, God created. Number 2. The basic beginning of all things begins with God. That's point number 1. Point number 2, the basic beginning of all things begins with a plan. God created. You look at our world around us. How many of you fellas like to hunt and fish? Can I see your hand? Like to hunt and fish? All right, a few of you. How many of you like to eat what is hunted and fished? Can I see your hand? Amen. There's more hands there. All right. You know, you walk through the woods. Josh Kellogg got some great pictures of some of the parks, the metro parks in Toledo, and he shared them with me. Beautiful, just beautiful pictures. And you walk through the woods and you see God's creation. There is order and there is design to it. Now, how many of you would believe if we walked up to Woodville Auto Parts up here on Woodville Road and we took some dynamite and we threw it into the junkyard and blew up that junkyard, that out of that explosion, we would have a Mercedes-Benz and a Hummer and a Rolls-Royce that would just happen to be out of that? Anybody want to buy that story? If you do, I got a bridge to sell you, all right? You see, the bottom line is God has created things with order. And yet our school systems are telling our children that out of an explosion came this wonderful creation that we have today. It just doesn't work that way. It actually goes against the first law of thermodynamics that is a universal law. Everything goes from order to disorder. The basic beginning of all things begins with a plan. God and His creation is defined by order and design. If you look in Genesis chapter number 1, y'all there, look at Genesis chapter number 1. Can you look at a few verses with me? Amen. Look at verse number 11. In verse number 11 it says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his," what? "After his kind." In verse number 12 it says, "And the earth brought forth grass and herb seed yielding after his kind." Look what it says in verse number 21. "And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their," everybody? "Kind. And the winged fowl after his kind." So that tells me this, folks. Oh, let's go on. Look at verse number 24. It says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after his kind, the cattle and the creeping thing and the beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind and cattle after their kind and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good." That tells me that earthworms are going to produce earthworms. Amen. And that bald eagles are going to go ahead and have offspring, and they're going to be bald eagles. By the way, if evolution is true, then bald eagles could turn into something else. But you know, I've never witnessed a cow up in an eagle's nest. And thank the Lord for it. Amen. I've never witnessed a dog or a cat with eagle's wings. You know why? Because everything is produced after its kind. Matter of fact, even man is produced or reproduced after the image of God. So therefore, we don't have to worry about evolution, because God has got everything after its own kind. The basic beginning of all things begins with a plan. God has got a plan for creation. God has got a plan for you and I. And that plan for you and I is fellowship. Look at the original design for God and man. Look at Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 26. "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness." And by the way, when God is using that personal pronoun "our," likeness, he is in reference to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The angels never had any creative power. He is talking within the Trinity. You say, how do you know that? He said, let us make man after our image, after our likeness. And so God created man in his own image, verse 27. Now look at chapter 2. Chapter 2 basically redefines or actually tells a little bit more about the creation process. It is not a second creation, but it's actually just retelling the story of creation. And he says here, as he created man, I want you to notice what the Bible says. It says, and the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground. What did he form, everybody? He formed man. What part of man did he form? He formed man out of the dust of the ground. He formed his body. Everybody with me? Amen? It says, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, body. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, spirit. And man became a living soul. The Apostle Paul talked about in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it talks about, may the Lord sanctify you wholly in your whole body and spirit and soul. That's just kind of paraphrasing what he said. Man is made up as a tripartite being, as God is made up of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We are made up of body, soul, and spirit. So therefore, God has got a plan. And that plan is, look what it says in verse number 8. After he created man with a purpose. It says, and the Lord God planted a garden. You didn't know that God was a farmer, did you? That's what it said. It says, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Look at verse 15. And the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. That tells me that God created man to serve him. Isn't that what it says? Why did God create you? God created all of us so that we would serve him. How are you doing with that? Are you serving yourself or are you serving God? I hope that you're serving God. That's why God created you. But he didn't just create you for service. He also created you for worship and for fellowship. After Adam and Eve had sinned in the garden and they took the forbidden fruit and they ate it, we find in Genesis chapter number 3, and verse number 8, it says, and they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees in the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? By the way, God knew exactly where they're at. He asked the question, not for his sake, but for their sake. He wanted them to realize just where they had slipped to. And away from. You see, God desired to walk with them in the cool of the day. He desired to fellowship with them. He desired for Adam and Eve to worship him. For the scripture says that all creation should bow before the Lord our Maker, worship him. The basic beginning of all things begins with a plan. Let me ask a question this morning. Are you fulfilling God's plan? Is life all about God? Is life all about God's plan for you? Or is it all about you? Is it all about self-desires? I want you to notice the third thing. The basic beginning of all things begins with the Trinity. Look at Genesis chapter number 1. Look at verse 2 and 3. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. In Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 1 through 3, you find all three persons of the Godhead. In the beginning, God, it's the Hebrew word Elohim, which is actually a unine plural noun. It shows plurality, but yet oneness. In the beginning, God. I think that's in reference to the Father. In verse number 2, it says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. In verse number 3, and God said, that is the spoken word, the Logos. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth unto darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not, according to John chapter number 1, verse number 1 and following. You see, Jesus Christ is the spoken Word. And the Word became flesh, John 1:14, and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so, listen, the basic beginning of all things surrounds itself around the Trinity. The three persons of the Trinity, they were active in creation. And man is made in God's image. Genesis 1:26, Genesis 2:7. We are made of body, soul, and spirit. And God is concerned with your whole being. God is concerned with your whole being. When you mourn and you grieve, God is concerned with that. And when you hurt and you weep, God is concerned with that. And you have joy and you rejoice. Listen, God is concerned with that too, because He is concerned with all the aspects of your being. When you're sick physically, God is concerned. God is concerned with us and our bodies. You say, how do you know that? Because what it says in 3 John, in verse number 2, I believe it is, where John says that thy soul may that your health may prosper, that thou mayest be in health, and that thy may prosper even as thy soul prospereth. That's just kind of paraphrasing what it says there. But listen, John said he wished them to be well as far as their health. Well, I tell you what, I hope 2017 brings a wellspring of health upon God's people. Amen. I'm hoping that physically, listen, Tuesday I go to the doctor. I'm hoping that he gives me an all clear on the cancer. I'm hoping and praying for that. I want you to pray with me about that. I go to get my PSA checked, and I'm just anticipating and hoping for that. Listen, I want to be in good health this year. And not only that, but I want you to be in good health. And listen, God wants you to be in good health. But I've learned something about life in these almost 59 years. If I want to go ahead and have good health, I cannot eat Twinkies every day of the week. Amen? Actually, it's raspberry zingers. That's my real crutch. Amen? I'm talking about the kind with the ooey-gooey cream on the inside and clustered over with all kinds of frosting and coconut. I'll tell you what, if there is a present manna, that is what it is. I'm telling you, it's good stuff. But I've learned that, listen, my life has to consist more of raspberry zingers and Hostess Twinkies if I'm going to have good health. God is concerned about our body, soul, but He's also concerned about your spirit. He wants you to be alive with Him. He wants you to be able to be sensitive to Him. And God is concerned. Are you sensitive to God? Does God speak to you? God desired to walk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. And God said, Adam, where art thou? I'll tell you where Adam was not. He was not walking with God. He was not sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit anymore. God has a plan for all of us. And God is concerned with our whole being, your body, your soul, and your spirit. For many of you that sit here this morning, you've lost loved ones this past year. And it's good to grieve. Pray for Ardell Wilkins. She lost her husband back in, I think it was July. I talked with her and counseled her. I don't think she'd mind me sharing this, but she was grieving horribly. Every day we'd go out to the gravesite for hours at a time. Just grieve. And I counseled her. I said, you know, you need to just back off and start just reducing that. Maybe knock it down to twice a week and then once a week and then eventually maybe once a month. I said, otherwise the grief is going to consume you. It's good to grieve and it's good to mourn. But we have to remember in John 10:10, Jesus Christ came to give us life and life more abundant. This past week, or a little over a week ago, Ardell fell and broke her hip. She had to have surgery, and now she can't go out to the graveside. I was visiting her in the nursing home, and actually, at first I visited her at the hospital, and she began to weep and said, Pastor, I can't get to the graveside. I wasn't there yesterday, and I wasn't there today. And I says, it's okay. And tears ran down her face. I said, listen, Butch isn't there anyway. He's in heaven. And she says, I know. She says, I just want to die and go with him. I says, you can't. You've got children and grandchildren, and they need you. She says, I know. A couple days later, I visited her nursing home. There wasn't any tears there. She says, Pastor, I've come to a conclusion. It's okay to mourn and it's okay to grieve. But I want to live. She says, I want to live. She says, I need to live for my grandkids. I need to live for my friends at Grace Baptist Church. I need to live for my family. God expects us all to grieve. But we have to live. We have to live because there's people around us that need to see Christ in us, the hope of glory. And we don't serve a dead Savior, we serve a risen Savior, amen? He's alive, and He's alive forevermore. We cannot live in the shadows of death. We have to walk with the Savior in life. Let me give you the final thing. So God has made us in His image. That image gives forth life. But the basic beginning of all things includes companionship and fellowship. In Genesis chapter number 2, we read over and over and over after God created all the things, He said, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good. And we find in Genesis chapter number 2 in verse number 1, thus the heavens and the earth was finished and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all the work that He made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He rested from all the work that He made. He finished it all. Look at the last verse of chapter number 1. What did He say that it was? It was very good. The basic beginning of all things includes companionship and fellowship. God then talks about how that He made man and breathed in the breath of life. But look what it says in verse 18. This is the first time in the Bible where God says something's not good. Josh, you need to read this, all right? Stephanie, you need to read this. They just got married. I'm so happy for them. It says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I'll make a help meet for him. Look at verse number 22. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made He a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. And they were both naked, the man and the wife, and were not ashamed. The basic beginning of all things includes companionship and fellowship. In our Christian life, number one, we need to have companionship and fellowship with the Lord. Number two, if you're married, make sure you take time to have companionship and fellowship with your spouse. Amen? God had a purpose for Adam. It was one of service, that was keeping the garden. One of obedience, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Verse 16 and 17, one of labor. Verse number 19 of chapter 3, in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread. I hear guys complain about their jobs and they'll say, man, I just can't wait till I retire. I can't wait till I can quit that job. I hate it. And I look at them and I'll say, well, brother, it's part of the curse. So if you don't like your job and you don't like what you do, listen, it's all a part of the curse. In the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread. He says, until you go to the ground, for dust thou art and dust thou shalt return. God had a purpose. Service, obedience, and labor. God had a purpose for Eve. A companion. A helpmeet. A wife, a mother, a companion, a lover. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. It's in reference to permanence, unity. As God had a purpose for Adam and he had a purpose for Eve, he has a purpose for you. In 2 Peter 3:9 it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In 1 Timothy 2:4, the Bible says, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. You know what God's will is for you today? God's will for you is for you to be saved. If you're not saved, God's will for you is to come to Jesus Christ as Savior. Back to basics. That's where we need to get to. The basics of where it all began. All things begin with God. And God desires for you every day to begin with God. God has a plan. God's got a plan for you. And that plan includes salvation and worship and service and labor. My question this morning is, are you fulfilling God's plan? Has there been a day and a time when you've accepted Christ as your Savior? If not, then you ought to make the very first day of 2017 the day that'll change your eternity. Where it all began. It begins with God. May God help us. May God help us to go ahead and let our life every day begin with God. Let's bow our heads, please. This morning, if we find ourselves that we have slipped away, or we have lost our way, we just need to get back to the basics. I remember when I was a little boy, my mom took me to a grocery store almost every week, a little grocery called Nye's Supermarket in Faustoria. And I was probably about 4 years old. My dad would sit in the car as mom and I would go in and get groceries. And I'd tag along and I'd look at stuff. And before I'd know it, I'd look around and mom wasn't around. I'd look it up and down the aisles. I couldn't find her. But I knew where my dad was. So I walk out of the grocery store, walk over to the car, pop open the door, jump inside. My dad would say, what are you doing out here, boy? I said, I can't find mom. Okay, sit still. Mom would look around for me, but she knew exactly where to find me. Because she told me, listen, if you get separated from me, just go out and sit in the car with Dad. And if you've lost your way, you need to go back where you started. That's what I did as a young boy. I went back where I started. I knew right where the car was at. Let's get back to basics, where it all began. Father in heaven, Lord, I ask and pray that you'd help us today. And Lord, I pray that if those that are hurting, those that are distant from thee, Lord, maybe marriages that are in trouble, whatever it might be, I pray, Lord, that they'd go back to the beginning. Start over. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today that never trusted Christ, I pray, Lord, that they would have a beginning point today. Bless us with your presence. Do a work in our lives. Draw us close to the Savior's side, and we'll give you the praise and the glory for everything that's said and done. With every head bowed and every eye closed, as the piano...